Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. The Shepherd's Crook exists to provide care, counsel, and resources for pastors. You can get more information at theshepherdscrook.co. My name is Jared Sparks, and I'm a pastor coming alongside other pastors, reminding them of the chief pastor. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. I've got something fun for you guys today that I've been looking forward to, and I think we're just going to have a good time telling some stories and talking about some, I mean, deeply important things. We're going to be talking about fishing today with AD Robles. Adam, how's it going, man?
It's going great, man. Thanks for inviting me here.
Heck yeah. Well, let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Father, we just thank you for this time. We ask for blessing on this conversation. Thanks so much for things that in this world that we can enjoy that, you know, Jesus, even you enjoyed with those that you ran with and spent time with. Thank you for the scenes in the scriptures with guys doing normal things, providing for their family through blue collar work and a whole lot of fun through just fishing. And today, just help us to have a good time as we talk about this. We trust you're going to. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, bro, let me set this up. I've been seeing you on the internet and, you've been fishing in the wintertime, you've been ice fishing, all this kind of stuff up there. So I just want to know, tell me about fishing life, man. When did you become, you know, we'll be really official today and call it angling, I guess. When did you become an angler? Why are you into fishing these days?
You know, so I always liked fishing when I was a kid. You know, my dad took me out to a little local pond and stuff. And, you know, he would take me and my brother and, for whatever reason, I took to it a lot more than my brother. Like I'd be the one that would want to go, you know, all the time and, you know, eventually move to a place where we could walk to a river and stuff like that. And so I just loved it. I always liked it when I was younger, but I gave it up after I, you know, went to college and, you know, went to New York City. There's a few times there, I was telling you before that we were started recording, there's like a couple piers in New York City you can fish off of. And so I'd catch like little fluke and flounder or whatever they're called. And so that was fun. And then I gave it up for a long time. And we were just visiting some friends and they had a little pond at the house they were staying at. And my son was catching these little catfish. And I was like, you know, let's just do this. So I got a license. And that was about a year ago. And I just like rediscovered fishing. And I'm just out there just enjoying being outside and, you know, and actually catching fish. Like now I kind of know a little bit what I'm doing. So it's a lot more fun when you're actually catching fish.
It is. Yes. Catching fish is a whole lot more fun than casting for fish. And that's what my son said, Dad, we're getting really good at casting, but we're not really getting that good at catching. We got to get good at catching fish.
Yeah.
And we're on a pretty good run now. But so you grew up by a river. So did you like fly fish or did you just fish for, what was it you were fishing for when you were a kid?
Yes. Yeah, so, well, the pond that we used to go to when I was younger, that was just like, you know, sunfish, things like that.
Okay.
You know, a little bluegill. And then when I was by that river, they had some trout there, you know, some like landlocked salmon, stuff like that. But I had a hard time. We caught a few fish, but, it's funny that like now with all the technology, there's like fishing apps and stuff. You can you know, find new spots. So I looked up the old spot where we used to fish and, you know, people are pulling like, you know, nice trout out of there, like where we used to fish. And I'm like, man, where were those fish? Well, they probably were there. They just weren't dumb enough to bite what I was, you know, putting down there.
Right.
Yeah, man. It just like a little trout stream, basically.
That's cool. I've never fished for trout. We do have a couple lakes here that are pretty deep lakes, and twice a year they release trout into these two lakes, but I've never been out there to actually catch them. So we actually, it's a lot of bass. When I was growing up, we didn't fish for bass at all. It was only catfish. I mean, it was like little sunfish, like you're talking about, little, you know, bluegill, maybe a crappie here and there, but we caught catfish. So, I mean, we would just get these big, huge earthworms and fling it out there. And then me and my dad would just sit there and wait to see what happened. And every once in a while, you know, you just get that thing and it would take off and you'd get this big old catfish. So that's pretty much all the fishing I did growing up. But anyway, so up there though, you really have a window, I guess you got like 3 or 4 months you can ice fish then. Is that right? Because I mean, you were out there on the ice this year.
Yeah. So it started like this ice started being safe like towards the end of December, and I was fishing on the ice up until end of March, something like that. It got a little sketchy towards the end there, but it was still safe. And yeah, it was awesome. awesome. You know, it's very different than bass fishing, you know, because you're just kind of waiting around a lot, not mm-hmm. really covering water because, you know, you only have these little holes and stuff and you're just waiting right. for a fish to bite. But it's awesome because, like, you're out there all alone. It's quiet. You know, and it's just, it gives you some time just to sit and think and whatever you want to do. And also it's, you know, when you go with people, it's mostly just hanging out, you know what I mean? It's not, right. like you're not really, you know, you're not really hunting for the fish like you would if you were on a little boat bass fishing. It's just hanging out and, you know, talking, you know what I mean? So it's a pretty fun activity, especially for winter when normally you're not going outside all the time, you know?
Right. We went for the first time ever. We had this cold snap in Southern Illinois. Where it, I mean, every 4 or 5 years, it gets cold enough to freeze over a river, or I mean, not a river, but a lake, to where you can walk out on it and you have to walk out cautiously yeah. because it's not like where yeah. you're at or Minnesota where you're driving these big trucks right. and ice things out there. But we went this year and yeah. we drilled the hole in the wrong place, I guess, because we just sat there for hours and hours. It was like 20 degrees outside and we didn't catch anything, but we had a whole lot of fun in the process. When I was a kid,
the ice up here where we are, it's like,
Go ahead.
Just gonna say the ice where we are, it's like, you know, probably a foot, maybe even more deep. And you really only need like, you know, 3 or 4 inches to walk on it pretty safely. So this is like thick ice. Like you could drive a truck there and it would be no problem. And so when I would go, I'd go during the week, because I have a job where I could be somewhat flexible and there'd be nobody else out there, maybe one other person. It was just a lot of fun. Yeah, and I saw some guys pull like some 3-foot pike out of there, you know, and I never got anything that big, but I did catch some pretty decent fish but they're pulling trophy pike out of these things. It's crazy.
Man, that's cool. So my memories of starting to fish when I was a kid, it goes back to when I was just a little boy with my dad, and he always did, like I said, catfish. He didn't really do much else than catfish, but we went out fishing one time and I remember I had a cane pole. And I was just throwing this cane pole out and just the little bobber and little worm, just trying to catch bluegill. And I kid you not, it was like hours. We went, this guy named George, and George was catching fish all day long. And me and my dad caught absolutely nothing. So this is like one of my earliest memories of prayer being answered. And I get upset. And I remember this as vivid as like it was yesterday. And I threw my cane pole and I got all mad. And it was always just real fiery. And my dad's yelling at me, "Get back here, son. Just we're going to pray about this." And we knelt down and prayed right there by the pond. And I kid you not, dude, after like 4 hours of getting nothing, the next 7 times I put that little cane pole out there, I got a fish 7 times in a row. It was probably like the same little sunfish, but it was like, for me, the first time God is answering prayer has to do with fishing. And so it's just like etched in my yeah. memory forever. But man, I'm kind of like you, because when I was a kid, I didn't fish for the longest time. And then I started thinking about like 5 or 6 years ago, I got to thinking, you know, we built a house and there's a pond right down the road from me. And then there's another pond, like a quarter mile away. And so I've got 2 pretty good sized ponds here. I'm like, man, I need to start fishing. I got sons now. I mean, I really need to get out there and start doing this.
Yeah, man.
And bro, it is like something happened because I started hunting as well. And I don't know what happened, but I could care less about sports anymore. I just want to go hunting and I want to go fishing all the time. So it just like took over my life.
That's right.
I mean, forget sports. I mean, we started baseball this year. I'm like, man, every time we're at the baseball field, we could be fishing, you know?
Dude, it's so fun. I mean, the kid and my sons are pretty young, so they have a pretty short attention span for fishing. But like, it's awesome when you actually find some fish. Like actually on Monday, 2 Mondays ago, it was tax day. Okay. I went to the local pond and they had just stocked it with trout. I lucked out because they stocked it that day because I was there the day before. I didn't catch anything. On Monday, I must have just happened upon the place where they put them, because there was just, I threw my bait out there and like 100 fish jumped at once.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like,
that's unreal.
No. So I grabbed my kids. We came right back and we were just, you know, we threw the worm out there. And we catch one, we throw the worm out there, we catch one. There's, you know, they're like maybe 10, 11 inch trout. And we had never caught a trout before. And so the kids were just having a blast. My 3-year-old had his little Spider-Man rod. He put it out there and he caught one instantly. So it was like the perfect situation. Cause when you find like a pocket of sunfish or perch or something, and they're just catching them quick, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. But I think now that my oldest son is at the age where he wants to catch a bass, right? So mm-hmm. you have to actually hunt those out. You got to find them. So he's getting to the point, he's got a little bit longer of an attention span. So hopefully he'll get his, he actually has caught a bass on a worm accidentally before, but it was like a little guy, you know?
Yeah.
So hopefully this year he'll get his first, you know, decent sized bass.
That's pretty cool. Now I have seen that you've been doing some bass fishing. So, I mean, have you been, I mean, you're using spinnerbait, using just worms, like plastic worm? Cause I'm a plastic worm guy, man. They call it a Texas rig. Yep. And I just get a Texas rig and I just dance that thing through the water. And then I'm just ripping on it. And it is so much fun. So, I mean, I guess you got largemouth up there.
Largemouth. We have a few lakes with smallmouth. I haven't actually been to any of them yet, but I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, my first bass since I started fishing again was on like a Texas rig, you know, worm, like a, you know, ribbon tail worm kind of thing. And then the biggest bass I've caught was in the fall, like last October, on a very small little crankbait.
Oh, really?
And there was this spot, this one spot in this pond that I always threw my line. Like, there has to be a fish there. This is perfect for a fish. And I never caught anything. And like one late October, it's like, it's actually one of the last bass I caught too of the year. I throw this little crankbait over there and I felt like I got snagged. I was like, what's going on here? And it was just because I'd never caught a fish that big before. So it was like almost 4 pounds on this little crankbait and I pulled it out of that spot. And I remember being like, so like you know, like your heart rate starts pumping and like, you just feel like jittery almost. It's like the fish I'd been catching would be up to like 2 pounds. This is like double the size of anything I'd caught. And it's a big difference between 4 and 2 pounds.
Oh yeah.
Like it was just amazing. I thought for sure I was snagged and I just pulled it out and it was just awesome. And this is like not a huge pond, but from what I understand, there's a few fish about that size there. And that was a lot of fun. And so, yeah, mostly it's like Texas rig stuff. And then like little crank baits. I've done some spinners. I've caught some fish on spinners, but not a lot.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing all shoreline fishing and I just got into my canoe and it got a little trolling motor on it. And all I've been doing is just walking. Did you see that? Yeah. Oh my gosh, dude, it's been so much fun.
Yeah.
And it's getting me in some places that I couldn't get before. And I'm just walking shoreline to shoreline on this one pond. So the two ponds that we have one pond that you got like really big bass in. And then we got another pond where there's a bunch of littles and none that I've caught yet that are the size that you're talking about. But the other one, man, we had a day last year. I went with my brother-in-law and it was middle of the summer and you know, it's just hot and I'm doing this topwater stuff. And I got this topwater spinner thing. It's one of those things that like dances across the top of the water as you're pulling. It's not really like a spinner bait, but I forget what they're called, the buzz bait. So I'm throwing it out there and I'm just, bait.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm going real quick and dude, one after another, these big, I'm talking like 3 and 4 pounds. And I caught my first plus like over 5 pound fish last year.
Yeah.
And dude, it was crazy because they were just coming and absolutely attacking it on the top. And that topwater fishing is so much fun in the summertime. And it was just,
it's another. It's the coolest thing.
Isn't it the greatest? So have you had one attack on topwater before?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It is so awesome. I've done it. There's this one spot that's kind of, it always holds fish and it's kind of close to where you stand too. So when it hits on the top water, it's like almost scares you because it's like right in front of you.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because you can't see the fish in the water a lot of the time, but they're there and it just comes up and attacks it like a shark. It's awesome. And honestly, like the first time I got a topwater fish, I ended up losing it because like I pulled the line too fast. Like it has to bring it down a little bit before you can set the hook. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you'll miss it. So the first one I was like, oh man. And it's so hard to wait like that half a second before you set the hook. Cause you see the splash and you just want to yank it.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, that's how you lose them. So you gotta wait and then yank it.
Yeah. See, the same day that I caught all of those on the topwater, I'm having my brother-in-law here for the first time. He's fishing on this pond and he thinks this is like the best pond in the world now, because we're getting fish one after another. And I caught probably 5 or 6 that day top water and then missed as many or more because I was doing that. As soon as they were hitting, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, and you pull on it and then
you pull it out of their mouth.
Yeah, exactly. So get this, I'm fishing out there one day and I got one on the line and I could tell it was a fish. It was decent size. It was in the pond that had bigger fish. And I was pulling on that thing. And all of a sudden after about, I don't know, like he was probably 15 to 20 yards out when I got him and I start pulling and I pull it and it just releases. Like, oh man, that's, it's what just happened? I mean, just missed him. So I start pulling it in. I'm like, well, something's tiny on there. It's getting some, it must be weeds. And I get it in, and through the belly of a bluegill, I had a sunfish through the belly. And the only thing I can think of is right as that bass was attacking that bluegill, I also somehow or another snagged him. And when I got that and yanked on it, I actually pulled through the bass's mouth and got that bluegill somehow. I have absolutely no idea how it happened, but anyways, it was like a one in a million thing. But man, I tell you what, when you get a good big bass on there, when I got that 5-pounder,
yeah,
he got caught in the weeds. I actually got in the water. I was like, I'm not losing this thing. And I actually just like walked out in there and just got, you got to do what you got to do, man. Oh my gosh, it's fun. So tell us, so like, okay, you got that 4-pounder. So what else? Like these other ones that you've pulled out, any big ones that are really memorable that you've caught that are another kind of fish?
Sure. So, the best part about that day when I got that 4-pounder is I caught 5 fish in like 45 minutes. And right before that 4-pounder, I caught what was at the time my personal best. So it was like a 2.5-pounder, something like that. And I was so excited. This is great. And then like the very next cast is when I catch that 4-pounder. So that was a great day. The biggest fish besides that was through the ice. It was a little over 3-pound chain pickerel, which very similar to a pike, except they're smaller in general. That was a huge, for a pickerel, that's really big.
Okay.
Usually you catch a pickerel, it's like a pound or under. This one was 3 pounds and it was through the ice. You know, I saw the flag go up, you know, I yanked the line and it came out. It was fight. I was hoping it would pike, but it wasn't. The thing about ice fishing that's weird is it's not like bass fishing where you set the hook pretty much right away.
Okay.
Except for the top water, like we're talking about. You actually have to wait for them to swallow it. Like, cause apparently when you're fishing with live bait or dead bait, the fish will take it in their mouth and they'll kind of chew on it for a while.
Okay.
So they'll run with it, but it's not like they're not eating it yet. They're just kind of like taking it away. And so I've lost quite a few fish under the ice for that reason, because I thought it was like bass fishing where you just, you know, pull it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some old timers on the ice where I was telling them about what I was going on, and they're like, oh yeah, here's your problem. It's not, what are you, a bass fisherman? And I'm like, well, I guess you could call me that. Because yeah, it's not like that at all. You just have to let them take it, and they're to the point where they almost swallow it, and then you pull.
Yeah.
So this guy, you know, he told me that. And then that very day he catches a huge pike. So like, he obviously knows what he's talking about.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's lived there all his life. So he knows where to set up the, you know, the flags and stuff. So I'm looking forward to next ice season already. Cause it's just, you know, I have a lot more knowledge now. Before I was just kind of winging it, but that's cool. Cause a lot of fishermen out there are willing to tell you like their secrets, right? Like they know spots, they know things. And, so that's kind of cool that, you know, cause you know, you sometimes you think people like, they don't want to tell you their spots, right? Cause they want to get fish. A lot of these guys are pretty like, especially the old timers. They, I feel like they see young guys out there and they're like, oh, cool. Let me teach them some things, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Well, what is it about fishing with buddies that is so great? Because going out with friends and fishing on the lake, even if I got, you know, a couple hours and go out down there with a buddy, and there's just something about it. It's so much different. It's so much better than just, I mean, drinking coffee with people. That's cool. But you know, when you're going out with a friend to fish, there's just something about it. And I, you know, I don't know if there's a connection. I've tried to think through this, like why fishermen? Like why does he select fishermen? I mean, it's blue collar work. Yeah. It's fun. And I don't want to, you know, be weird about it or pull out some like, you know, weird principle or anything like that. But certainly it was their work, but I would have to think that there was some, you know, as they're counting, oh my gosh, 153 fish. This is the best day we've had in years ever. There's just something about fishing with people. So, I mean, are you going out when you go out? I mean, do you go by yourself or you go out with buddies? I mean, what do you do?
I do both. I mean, I go by myself a lot, you know, just cause it's easy, you know, just pick up and go whenever you're ready kind of thing. You don't have to plan anything, but I've gone out with some friends a bunch of times and I plan to do a lot more of that. You know, a lot of guys are kind of like you said, you've seen me kind of posting stuff about fishing. A lot of guys have reached out to me from the local area cause they see it too. They're like, oh, I want to go, you know, like that kind of thing. So, I don't know. I don't think it's unique to fishing. I think it's like, there's a lot of activities that they're fun, but they're also like, it's not, it doesn't feel like a waste of time. Like, you know, playing video games. I like video games. I played video games before, you know, but it, you know, every time I play video games, it always feels like a waste of time. Like, you're not really producing anything. I'm not doing anything productive. It's fun, but it's, and kind of, I feel that way now about, like, we were talking about this before the video started, like kind of like watching sports, you know, it's like, it's all right. I like it, but I always kind of feel like I'm wasting time, you know, secretly. And I'm not saying watching sports is bad. I'm not trying to like insult anybody, but I always personally felt like that. Yeah. Like, this is like when you're doing it and you're successful, you know, it feels like you're accomplishing something, or like fixing a car or something. Like when you're hanging out with a friend's fixing a car, working on a building, a chicken coop or something, mm-hmm. like it's fun. And also it produces something, like there's some point to it. It's not never ending. It's not like World of Warcraft, where it's just a never ending game. There's no point. You never can win. It just goes on forever. Or like, you know, what's that weird game with blocks? I don't even remember.
I don't know.
Minecraft. It's like, it's just a never ending game. You know, like there's no point to it. There's no beginning. There's a beginning, but there's no end. It's just, there's no point. Like fishing is great because you like, you build up this skill set and you're working and you're coming up with ideas. And, you know, I remember I took a buddy out, you know, fishing, first time in a long time for him. And I was giving him some pointers and stuff, and he hooked one and he was so excited. He ended up missing it, but it was like awesome to see, like, we were trying different things. We're trying different spots. And finally we led to almost success. So the next time, like, we're going to have success. It just, it feels like accomplished. There's something to it.
That's cool.
And then you can eat the fish too. Like if you keep the fish, you can eat them as well. Like that's kind of cool as well.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything that tastes better than just a backyard fish fry with some good old Andes or Louisiana fish batter.
And
just frying that and then eating it. Oh my gosh, it's so good. So we've cut it up, and I've got a freezer full of fish right now. And part of the thing that I'm doing right now with the young guys that I'm working with and discipling is, like, we've been going through It's Good to Be a Man by Michael Foster with a bunch of guys. And then I'm going through some other books with some other guys. And so we will read and get our reading done for the week, and we'll come together. And I've got probably 6 or 7 guys either a week or every other week that I'm meeting with. And as long as the weather's good, we'll go down and catch fish. And with these guys, a lot of these guys, they don't know how to fillet a fish. So we'll just cut it up and fillet it right there. And so we got a freezer full of fish. Dude, it's awesome.
That's a big thing. So a couple of the guys that have reached out to me, they've said, hey, like, you know, let's go fishing. And he's like, I really want to learn how to dress a fish and, you know, all that stuff. And it's like, I think that there's something there. It's like, it feels accomplished to catch a fish, fillet it yourself. You know, a lot of people these days are like learning how to raise chickens for meat and stuff like that. They want to learn how to butcher a chicken. And I don't know. There's just, it just feels like there's some point to it. It's productive.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of guys are looking for something like that. I was talking to my brother, and we were very happy about some of the things that our father had taught us, you know, when we were younger. We had a great dad. One of the things he didn't teach us, though, is, you know, how to like fix things around the house. Like we were always the kind of family, like we'd get the plumber to come in, we'd get carpenter to come in, and we'd pay for that. And it's like, we're not like upset about it, but it's like nobody ever taught us those things. So now, like, when we have something in our house that goes wrong, we go to YouTube, we figure it out, and we're like, it feels awesome to be like, oh, I can fix that. That's easy. You know what I mean? Like, just someone needs to teach him. And I feel like guys like that, because, you know, nothing feels better than like accomplishing something yourself, you know,
that definitely.
You didn't know you could do, but I guess you can do it.
Yeah. It's really
fishing's
cool.
Fishing's a good entry point for that.
It is. And the piece of provision, a lot of guys provide through paycheck. They provide through hard work. That's a great thing. We need men obviously to do that. But there's this other aspect that has been a requirement of men down throughout history, down from the garden forward, and, or I guess the fall forward, which is, hey, I got to find food. You know, I've got food is just not growing on the tree here. I've got to go out and do this. I got to get it. And if I'm going to get some meat, then I'm going to have to go out, hunt it, cut it up, get in the freezer, or put it on salt and put it in wherever people used to preserve their food. And there's an aspect of that as well, where it's deeply satisfying. And for our boys already, you know, when Rant or Valor went out this year, we've been reading this book that's a fishing book for kids, and it's called Fishing with Dad. And Valor wanted me to read that to him. I mean, we've read that every day for like 3 months in a row. Spring rolls around, and he's like, hey, Dad, can we go fishing? And it's like, of course. Well, I want to do that. Well, he goes out and he catches on his little Snoopy fishing pole his first bass, and dude, he felt so proud of that. And he was making fun of me. He's like, yeah, mom, dad, all dad caught was grass. And I caught the bass, you know, I caught this fish. And we're gigging each other and all this and having fun. And then to cut it up and put it in the freezer and be like, buddy, that's your fish. I mean, you got that. And we get to eat that fish. It's something really neat for guys to experience and for young boys to experience for sure. But I mean, these guys at the church, you know, for a lot of them, they didn't grow up fishing at all and they've never done this. And they're exhilarated, exactly what you're saying. They're loving to learn this directly. Instead of a YouTube video, they're getting to learn it just from somebody. And that's the best way to learn it anyways, is to find somebody that can show you the ropes. Yep. And where you can't find somebody, that's what YouTube's so great about, you know?
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that I, when I got back into it recently, there's this one YouTuber, his channel is called Realistic Fishing. What I love about it is there's no pretension. Like, he gets just as excited about catching a bluegill as he does about catching a nice bass.
Oh,
like,
that's awesome. Yeah.
It's okay to be excited about a small little fish. Right. And the other thing I'll say too, is you don't, if you're interested in fishing, don't, like, there's so much gear that you could potentially get. Don't worry about all that mess. Like, mm-hmm. all of my biggest fish have been caught on my least expensive gear, right. like a $10 rod and a combo, you know, some hooks and stuff like that. And little crankbait, it was a couple bucks. And that's where I caught the 4-pounder. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I have some expensive gear too, but just providentially, I haven't caught anything really of any note on those. So it's like, you don't need expensive gear. You don't need the complicated stuff. Honestly, it's fun to catch fish even on a worm and a bobber. You know what I mean? Like, that's fine by me. I think it's exciting to see the bobber go under. I don't know. Some people think it's childish. I think it's awesome. So enjoy.
Absolutely.
It. The other thing I'll say too, and I'm sorry for going a little bit long here.
No, that's good.
You know, it's not, the thing about fishing is, like, there's no pressure. Like, if you're meeting for coffee, that's fine. Like you said, you know, whatever, you're meeting for a drink, whatever, it's fine. You know, I feel like sometimes, like, when you're doing that, even in discipleship situations, I don't know, just it just feels like contrived a little bit. Like, guys don't typically, like, just meet and, you know, just to talk about a book. Like, girls like to do that kind of stuff. Guys don't typically do that. They do, but it just, to me, it always felt forced, you know. And I'm willing to do it, but it just felt forced. Like, to me, it always made more sense to do something, whether it's fishing, whether it's fixing a car, whether it's whatever it is you're doing, and have it come up kind of naturally. It's just easier, I think. It makes it less, I don't want to say it's contrived, but it makes it feel less contrived.
Yeah.
When you're actually doing something that you kind of want to do, it's fun, you know, that kind of thing. I don't mean it to sound corny, because, like, when I go fishing, I don't ever have I don't ever have an agenda. Sometimes we'll talk about, you know, sometimes we'll talk about scripture. Sometimes we'll talk about theological things, but sometimes we won't. Sometimes mm-hmm. we'll just hang out and we'll talk about nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Years ago, I made a decision, and the way people talk about this is side to side versus face to face. I'm sure you've heard that before. Ladies face to face, men side to side, projects together rather than talking together. Or talking together as they're side by side doing a project. And a few years ago, I was frustrated with the idea of the lonely pastor who has no friends. And that is a self-imposed position for a pastor. That shouldn't be the norm for a pastor. Pastors should be friends with guys in their church, and they should know how to just be buddies with people in general. And they have a job that, you know, is flexible. And so I made the decision, I am not going to office out of a church building, and I am not going to meet people at the church building. I'm going to have my home be a productive home, and it's going to be a place of work. And a lot of this is thankful, you know, even some of these decisions were made before C.R. Wiley, and I read some of his work, but some of his work really solidified some of the things that were disconnected in me about the importance of the home. And I just made the decision, I'm not going to be the lonely, burned out pastor with no friends. And I'm going to open myself up even to the accusation of people that would say, what are you doing meeting with guys and going fishing? Like, you just having fun? And it's like, yeah, well, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Must be nice. Must be nice.
Right. Oh, ministry, right? And, you know, you're really at this point where it's like, ministry is either going to be the white collar, face-to-face stuff, bored, you know, kind of thing where you're just endless cups of coffee. And I love coffee, man. I love talking with people, exactly like you said. But man, there is something special about today. I had a couple guys, one guy was here. They have 7 children. They have their 8th on the way. And we were just, you know, talking about, you know, ministry. We actually did an interview together. And so that was, you know, hanging out together, doing an interview. But then Brandon came over and we put up a deer stand together. And that's what we did. We put up a deer stand and we just sat and talked after that. And I tell you what, those kinds of skills for guys that have them, you don't realize the gifting that can be to other guys if you will make room in your schedule to say, come alongside with me and do this. Because there's guys that are starved for friendship and would love to on their lunch break to take an extended lunch break and come and take an hour and a half fishing together with you if you have those opportunities. Yeah. And it's just something that pastors have the opportunity to do. You don't have to go in 8 to 5 every day to your office and live like everybody else and work like everybody else as if you have a, you know, a cubicle kind of job. You can actually get out with people. I mean,
right. A normal job. Right. Right. Right.
Exactly. And so, you know, a lot of this is taking cues. So we had a guy in our church and I actually got into hunting. That deer right there actually is the first deer I shot. And
totally awesome, man.
Dude, I was 35 and we have a guy in his 60s and he said, why don't you come out to the house and start shooting with me? And then, you know, I've got this extra stand here on 40 acres. So you want to hunt this fall? And I thought, well, you know, I guess I could try. I could give that a shot. I'll do that for, you know, I'll do that one time. And almost four years later, and bro, it's like I'm asking the question, where's this been my whole life? I mean, it's incredible. You know, there's just so much joy there. So the whole point is, I mean, if you have skills that, you know, like with AD or myself that you've developed because other people have invested in you. I mean, it's not just going through J.I. Packers, knowing God, that's going to be helpful to people, but passing on skills like this is incredibly helpful to people also. And then for young guys who learn these skills, it's impactful for their children as well, because they're going to end up teaching their kids about that same sort of thing.
It's like I was saying, it's just like, there's no pressure here, right? Because when I'm out there fishing, whether I'm with people or alone, you know, sometimes I read, like, you know, the modern theology books, and I get this impression that what I'm supposed to be doing is going to be, I'm supposed to be out there and just constantly thinking, wow, you know, God's creation is great. And this reminds me of this. And this, and it's like, and sometimes I do that. I'm out there and I'm just like, wow, this is so cool. I pull this brook trout out of the water and I'm like, you know, this is an amazing fish. Like, God could have just made it a normal looking fish, but this guy, it has like red dots on it. Like, it's just so creative. Like, and I'll think of that sometimes. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm just out there and I'm just enjoying it. Yeah. And I'm not thinking about God as the creator, even though I'm enjoying his creation. Like, so there's no pressure here. It's like, you don't have to write a poem about how much you like fishing. Right. You can, if you want to. I'm not saying you can't. If some guys like that, I'm not like that. So I remember after I caught that 4-pounder, and I say 4-pounder, but, you know, as a fisherman, that means almost 4 pounds.
Yeah, right, right, right. You round
but,
up, man.
But anyway, I just spontaneously, this just happened. Like, I was so like jittery afterwards. Like, it was like so awesome. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning. It was because it was October. And I just spontaneously fell to my knees. I was like, thank you, God. Like, this is amazing. And it's like, and it didn't come at it. Like, it wasn't forced. It was just like, just a moment, just so grateful. Like, I've thrown my line there every day for the last 3 months. Mm-hmm. And I haven't caught anything. And then I get this huge one on this day where I've caught four other fish. It's just amazing. And sometimes I'm just out there and I can't get a bite. And I'm like, God, can I please get a bite here?
Yeah, I know, right?
I feel like weird praying that prayer, but why not? Why shouldn't I pray that? Would it be great if I could have a fish kind of thing? And I don't get one, and that's okay too. Like, I still have a good time. And anyway, it's just like, there's no pressure here. Like the last thing that I'm not really warning anybody, but like, don't feel like you have to like over theologize it.
Yeah. Right.
You can just enjoy it and just have a great time being outside. And, you know, if it occurs to you to thank God for it being such a nice day or whatever, then go ahead and thank him. That's what you should do. But don't feel like you have to like make it don't make it weird. Like, it doesn't, we don't have to study J.I. Packer on our boat. You can if you want to. Mm-hmm. You don't have to.
Yeah, seriously. It's fun. And, you know, the neat thing about this is that almost everywhere you've got a pond, you got somebody at your church that's got a pond in their backyard. Yeah. You got a river. You're living in the ocean. You got the ocean right there. There's water everywhere. And there's all sorts of fishing that you can get out there and do. All you got to do is, from state to state, licenses are different. In Illinois, we get like a sportsman's license. So it's a hunting and fishing combo license for the year. But you can get out there and, like, you know, like Adam said, you can go and get a Zebco 33, and they've been around for like 40 years, and go pick that up for 15, 20 bucks and start getting out there and getting some fish. Easy. It's a blast. It's so much fun. Well, bro, I mean, if I'm ever up in the Northeast, I'm going to be reaching out to you and hopefully going fishing with you. If you're ever in Southern Illinois for some strange reason, then I want to have you over to the pond and catch some big ones. But anything else, man, you got about fishing before we go here? I'm going to challenge you at the end to get into hunting, but anything else, any other ideas or thoughts about fishing?
So number one, I already want to get into hunting. My brother has started hunting a couple of years back, and you know, he's had some success, and he's, you know, similar to what I was saying, just learning from like old time, you know, hunters and stuff. So I already want to do it. That's definitely on my agenda. But as far as fishing is concerned, it's been so much fun. And if you have kids, you know, they will love it too. It's awesome to see, like, my kids refused to eat fish before we started going fishing. And now they like love it. They're like, oh, we got to try this kind of fish and that kind of fish. And it's just amazing. So just a blast. I recommend it. Do it. And that's all you got to do. Just do it.
Yeah. That's so cool. So if you can get into hunting, then, bro, all that you get to experience from like April to October up there, you get to experience from the rest of October down through the year. And now we've got this outdoor schedule as a family where first half of the year we're fishing, second half of the year we're hunting, and Ransom's actually going to sit. I got a 2-person stand, deer stand from Facebook Marketplace. And I know where I'm going this year for shotgun season. We actually have to hunt deer with shotgun. We can't hunt with rifles here. And, so he's going to sit in the stand with me for shotgun season for the first time this year in a 2-man stand. And all the great things about fishing, it's the exact same with hunting. I mean, it's different, but it's that feeling that you caught with catching that 4-pound bass. When I shot this, it was such an intense feeling, man. I'm telling you,
I can imagine.
I'm thinking, am I, you know, weird? And then I find out it's called like deer fever or something. Everybody gets it.
You're
jittery. I've heard of this. Oh my gosh. Yep. It's just unbelievable. And so there's just something special about it. And, you know, for guys that are thinking about this, especially pastors who, you know, may not be getting in the outdoors or may not getting a lot of exercise, fishing's not going to give you a ton of exercise, but it's going to get you outside and it's going to, you know, get you to do something different. And I think you're going to love it. And if you've not been doing it, go to the store, get you a license, get out there and get fishing. It's a ton of fun. And if you're up in AD's way, then reach out to him and you guys can go fishing together.
Yeah.
And he can show you the ropes.
Definitely.
Heck yeah, man, this has been a lot of fun. And I just wanted to have a good conversation with you about it. I saw you've been fishing. So, you know, really no other agenda today just than talking about this and telling some stories. And so I appreciate you coming on the show again.
God bless. Take care.
Hey guys, thanks again for coming back to the show. This has been the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. And please consider leaving a rating and review on iTunes.